have a little liturgy here to focus on our sermon series. So I'll read the white part, and you all can read the yellow. We are on the journey of Lent. God has given us road signs for the journey. Jeremiah 31:21 says, set up road signs, put up guideposts, take note of the highway, the road that you take. No outlet. So many paths in life lead to nothing. We come to see clearly. Do not enter. We stick to God's path with perseverance.
Yield. Let God have His way.
Yield. We produce a harvest.
We come to see the road signs God has placed for our life's journey.
Amen. Well, welcome here this morning. We are worshiping differently now. And so we've been as staff and as a church, we've been trying to encourage people to keep calm and carry God. Keep calm and carry on. Let God direct our paths and put our trust in Him. We don't need to panic as the world does, but we need to be wise. We need to carry on the work that God has for us. This is our fourth Sunday in Lent. And Lent, of course, is a time for us as Christians to stop, which was our first sign of this series. Stop and take a look at where you are on your journey of faith. Take a look around, find your bearings, notice the signs that God has placed in your life. And as you see, we've considered quite a few different signs so far. And today, we look upon yield. Now for many, the yield sign is nothing but an optional stop sign. You know, we see it at quiet intersections. We see it when you're trying to go onto a roundabout or turning onto a divided highway. And actually, the driver's manual will tell you that if you need to stop at a yield sign only when it is necessary. It's more or less a word of caution. You know, pay attention, put your head on a swivel, take a look around you, and be careful. You know, it may be the case that you need to stop. If not, on your way. Proceed. So that's its function in our society. And so today I want to look at some spiritual functions that this sign has, two important functions. And the first is simply a relinquishing of rights. Right? That's what yield means. It's an anti-action. I stop so you can go. I stop because I understand that you have the right of way. I stop because I'm in the lesser place. Right? I do not have preference. I'm not the most important one, and so I yield. Right? And that, of course, needs to be our posture before God. To say, yes, Lord, have your way. Have your way. This is not Burger King here. We're not seeking to have our own will done. We yield before our God. And we allow Him to proceed, and then we follow. And that seems good and right and obvious. God is God, of course, and I'm not, so naturally I'll let God go ahead of me. It's very simple. But there's something about us humans that we just have to insist on our own way. We plow forward, not knowing what's ahead, but somehow confident that we'll be just fine. That's the normal case. Then we have certain situations like the one we're experiencing now, and we're not so sure. Our confidence wanes. We're not so sure if we'll be fine. If it were up to us, we would be the rat in the race, always busy and always in a hurry. And we just referenced this verse earlier in worship, but Psalm 46:10 tells us to be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. Of course, we've more or less been forced to do the first part, to be still. The rat race has kind of been curtailed here. The second part is up to us. Know that I am God. Yield before your Maker. Right? Allow Him to proceed. But like I said, we're stiff-necked, boneheaded children. Right? Now, I know a thing or two about stiff-necked, boneheaded children. and my son Ezra and I have a little activity we engage in now and then. And he'll say to me in his misguided 8-year-old confidence, he'll say, "Dad, try to crush me." And so I will proceed. I'll put my hands on his shoulders. He'll kind of stand in front of me facing away. I'll put my hands on his shoulders and just slowly increase my weight down on his tiny frame. And he'll grunt and he'll groan and he'll wheeze a little until finally his knees buckle and he crumples onto the floor. And then he pops up and says, "Hey, let's do it again." And so we do it a couple more times, right? And each time, he tries to last a little longer. And at some point, he must yield, right? He must give way to the pressure that is put upon him. But he keeps trying. And I am well aware that eventually a time will come when I will attempt to crush my son and I will fail, right? He'll outgrow this little game. His stature will be beyond my ability to crush. And in fact, I might even have to yield to him. It'll be a dark day indeed, right? But see, in our sin, we approach God like an 8-year-old Ezra. We approach God with a stubborn will to outlast Him, thinking that, Now, human stubbornness can be a strength, you know, in times of trouble, in times of global pandemic, we have sort of an attitude of, we will get through this. You know, we will be able to overcome this too. We're stubborn. We're not going to give up. And so when it comes to a virus, stubbornness is a strength. But when it comes to our relationship with God, stubbornness just won't do. Because we know we can't outlast God. We can't ultimately stand up to Him, not if we want to be in relationship with Him. See, God does allow us to turn and walk away. We can reject Him. We have that freedom. But when we do come to Him, we must come on His terms. We must understand who is who in the relationship, that He is the one who is God and we are not. And that brings me to Psalm 32:9, which puts it so memorably. It simply says, "Don't be like some useless horse or mule whose movement must be controlled with a bit and a bridle." Don't be like that. Don't be stubborn. Don't try to stand up to God. Now, I have great faith and hope that my children will grow to be godly men and women, despite my failures and shortcomings as their father. I hope that my kids will also realize the value of the disciplines and the punishments that they've received over the years. And I just know that they will understand that a loving parent enacts discipline against the kids that they love. And if you have kids or you've been around kids, you know that struggle, that balance of trying to punish appropriately while making sure the love is the foundation of our actions. And sometimes we need to be crushed. Sometimes we need to be crushed. And especially if we will not yield to God in our lives. If we try to stand up under the weight of His glory, we will be crushed because God is God. He cannot be something else. But the thing is, God's crushing happens in a very specific and unique way. And I want to share a song with you. We're just going to sit back and listen, and I'll have the words up on the screen. But I just want to take this time to, it's just a beautiful song that perfectly describes this process of yielding. So I just want to encourage you to enjoy "Crushing Hand" by The Lost Dogs.
Thank you.
That's the prayer. For God to lay your crushing hand, your mighty hand, on me gently. That's the way God functions. He has all the power of the entire universe at His fingertips, but He deals with us gently. Now, I do want to say that this sermon series and this topic and this, was all picked weeks ago. So I don't want to pretend like I'm preaching that this pandemic is God's crushing hand upon humanity, that it's His judgment for the world. I think it's more an attack of the enemy, because God's hand is a gentle hand, a correcting hand, not a obliterating force that we are in fear of. So I just wanted to be clear that I'm not saying that this pandemic is God's work, but that God's work will be done despite this pandemic. Hebrews 12 puts it this way, this idea of crushing. Chapter 12, verse 7, bear hardship for the sake of discipline. God is treating you like sons and daughters. What child isn't disciplined by his or her father? But if you don't experience discipline, which happens to all children, then you are illegitimate and not real sons and daughters. What's more, we had human parents who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. Very parental there. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? Our human parents disciplined us for a little while, as it seemed best to them. Right? We give it our best shot. We make mistakes in that process. But God does it for our benefit, so that we can share His holiness. No discipline is fun while it lasts. It's painful at the time. However, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. Now, of course, the key word there is later, however. Later. We don't like to hear the word later. We respond with, I don't care how, I want it now. Right? It's fresh in my mind. My daughter was just in the musical, the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory musical at her school. And we're familiar with those characters, but especially this Veruca Salt, right? Don't care how, I want it now. And Veruca is a terror. She demands and demeans and shouts when she doesn't get her way. And the funny thing is that Oompa Loompas in the story represent wisdom, right? And the Oompa Loompas know exactly who to blame for Veruca's horrible behavior. And we know the song, don't we? The mother and the father, right? It's the mom and the dad who have not disciplined their child. And this is the result. Veruca Salt, right? No one will say that discipline is fun. But if God is our Heavenly Father, then we are His children and we ought to be open to His correction. We ought to submit. Why? Because Hebrews tells us we can share in His holiness. So we can yield the peaceful fruits of righteousness. This is the second function of our sign. See, in Scripture, yield doesn't mean pause or take turns, but yield has the idea of result or a product, right? It's used in agriculture when talking about how a plant yields its fruit or a crop yields its harvest. And Jesus uses the word repeatedly when he tells the parable of the sower. The good seed lands in good soil, and it yields 30 or 60 or 100 times what was sown. So if the disciples were to see a yield sign today, they would think of farm fields. They would think of quantities of fish. And in terms of of Jesus' teaching, they might think of a harvest of new converts to the faith. They might think of the home churches they're a part of and what the ministries there are yielding. They might think of the amount of spiritual fruit that they see in their own lives. See, they would see this sign not as an anti-action where we stop. They would see this as a call to action, a divine injunction to yield good fruit. Yield a harvest of righteousness. Yield holiness. Yield peace. Right? These are the types of words that a Christian was talking to the fairgoers about. Righteousness and holiness and peace. And are they words that describe your life? Righteousness, holiness, peace. Are they words that describe my life? Not always, of course, because we are all guilty of failing to yield. Failure to yield, it results in disaster. Hopefully, if you're a driver, you know that pedestrians always have the right of way. Failing to yield can be deadly. And I believe that failure to yield in the spiritual sense has deadly consequences as well. Because if we never accept discipline, we will never grow. And without discipline, we cannot rightly be called the son or daughter of God. We've all heard it said, I'm sure, you know, we are all God's children. It's a phrase that we hear often enough. And of course, in one sense, it's true. We proclaim that God has created each of us in His own image. He loves each and every one of us. But in the more important sense, it's not necessarily true that we're all God's children. According to Hebrews, to be God's child indicates that we have a relationship with Him, one in which God is willing to discipline us, to crush us with His gentle hand. There are many who outright reject a relationship with God. And there are many Christians who, people who say they're Christian, who will not accept any form of hardship or discipline. Any hardship comes up, God is to blame, and we flee or distance ourselves from God. Can these people be said to be God's children? I don't know. The book of Hebrews is clear to say that God's children experience discipline from His gentle, crushing hand. So if we constantly flee from and avoid discipline, we become loud, irritating. Didn't mean to look at you, Nathan, on that one. Loud, irritating, demanding little verrucas. Right? And if we are functioning that way, we cannot offer wisdom to anyone else. We can't point out the way of life because we ourselves don't know the way. We know the type of fruit that a verruca salt produces. Depending on which movie you see, she's either a bad nut or a bad egg. Right? The result is rottenness. And if we are rotten Christians, well, our impact on the world will be rotten. And the people that Jesus died for will not come to know the truth about heaven and hell because we remain undisciplined. And so failure to yield has eternal consequences. And it's not that we are the ones that go around saving people, but we are the ones that God uses to share His message of hope and reconciliation. And so we cannot yield the fruit we ought to yield if we do not yield to the discipline God has for us. So it probably goes without saying, but disciples accept discipline. Disciples make other disciples. Disciples are out in the field. Disciples yield to God. And they yield a harvest. They yield to God and they yield a harvest are two functions of our sign for our spiritual life. So our job is to accept His discipline, to grow into it, to grow through it, and we will produce the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And we will be able to function as a signpost for others to say, here's the way of life, follow me, I know the way. And so in this time of Lent, we need to be self-reflective. And even more so, as this time of Lent is also a time of extra anxiety, extra stress. It's a time for us to stop and think. Stop and pray. What comes to mind when we see a yield sign? Is it an anti-action? Or is it a call to action? Or is it both? We need to ask ourselves, where do I need to yield to God and open up to His crushing hand? Where do I need to yield to God? Where do I need to be more concerned about results? What fruit does my life yield? And so even in the midst of this hardship and social distancing, I encourage you to take the time to draw near to God. The Bible says if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. And so let Him do so. Let Him fill you with His peace. Let Him grow within you the fruit of righteousness. And through that process, we will become more like Jesus. Amen.